Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. This is a podcast about the strange and unusual, the secrets and the conspiracies, the fringe and the supernatural. This is a show where we do little to no research on our topics. We are not professionals in any field except speculation. This is the Secret Transmission Podcast, and today we're talking about the Heaven's Gate Cult. I am your host, Toby. Along with me are my co-host. Please introduce yourself.
Kristen.
Rudy.
And DJ.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
It's all right.
I'm starving.
You're starving? I'm sorry. Well, you could be like the Heaven's Gate cult.
Got some Kool-Aid.
I might as well be. I can't eat anything that's spicy or greasy, so I'd rather just fall off the face of the earth.
So you brought up Kool-Aid.
Yes.
And I had this really funny idea. I was going to make us all have Kool-Aid sitting here, and I was going to do stuff like that. But the Heaven's Gate cult is not the Kool-Aid cult.
No, that's Jim Jones.
That's Jim Jones. I didn't know that.
How did you not know that? That's the most famous one.
I don't know.
Minus, like, the Manson ones, but...
So, today we are talking about the Heaven's Gate. It's a religious group, but we may call it a cult, because let's just say they're no longer around if you don't know anything about the Heaven's Gate.
Are they no longer around? Are you sure about that? Because their website seems pretty active.
They do.
And yes, you can't go to it.
They do have an active website. Do you know what that website is? Is it just Heaven's...
I think if you just Google Heaven's Gate, it's one of the first few that pops up.
Heaven's Gate is a UFO religious group from San Diego, California, formed in the 1970s by Marshall Applewhite and Bonnie Nettles. So before we get into the cult stuff, and before they were actually the Heaven's Gate, I want to talk about the two founders, okay?
Wait a minute, I may know this one. Is this the one where you have, it's the guy, but the guy wasn't as, like, big and, like, he wasn't the biggest leader, like, the woman was the leader mostly, and she had...
No, they were both equally.
There was one that had a woman, and she had, like, big glasses and dark hair.
I don't remember seeing what they look like, so... I'm going to talk about Marshall Applewhite first. He was born May 17, 1931. He also went by names during the whole process of this Heaven's Gate and the other names that they're... religious group went by.
Right.
He had changed his name several times. One time he went by the name Bo. The other time he went by the name Doe. He was from Texas. He served in the United States Army. He finished school in Austin College and earned his bachelor's degree in philosophy in 1952. He also studied theology, hoping to become a minister. He married Ann Pierce, and they later had two children. He decided to leave school to pursue a career in music.
Austin College, like in Sherman, Texas, Austin College?
No. I believe this one's the Austin, Austin.
Okay. Because, yeah. As I say, there's Austin College, and it's a Presbyterian-based college in Sherman.
He decided to leave the school to pursue a music career, becoming the music director of a Presbyterian church in North Carolina. In 1954, he was drafted by the United States Army, and in 1956, enrolled at the University of Colorado, where he earned a master's degree in music and focused on musical theater. He then taught the University of Alabama and lost his job after trying to have a sexual relationship with a male student. He separated from his wife when she found out about the affair in 1965. They divorced 3 years later. He moved back to Houston in 1965 to teach the university at St. Thomas. While back in Texas, he was openly gay, but also tried to date a young woman. She ended up leaving him due to the pressure from her family. He resigned from the University of St. Thomas in 1970, citing depression and other emotional problems. In 1971, he moved to New Mexico for a short time. He returned to Texas later that same year. His father then passed away, and the loss really took an emotional toll on him, causing him even more severe depression. He was also in debt and started borrowing money from all his friends and family. So, he alone has had his own fair share of ups and downs, and this is, what'd I say?
1954.
between 1950 and 1960,
right,
he was attracted to men, but that was taboo.
See, when you say cult, that's the two main things that I think of that make a cult are, like, similar names. Like, you know, like you say, he was Bo and Doe, which it may not be in this case, but a lot of the times they will give everybody similar names. That way they're all one.
Well, we'll get to that.
And united. And then another thing in a lot of these cults was, since, you know, like, same-sex marriage or being in the same-sex of a relationship was taboo, this is their way of being, like, an underground to make it okay and no one to know.
Well, see, all those answers get questioned.
Yeah, you just said that.
Yeah.
Aloud. Yeah. All those answers.
All those questions get answered, yes, here in a little while. Okay,
don't dare edit that out either.
I'm not. So, but like I said, he had it rough trying to grow up being bisexual, more or less.
Right.
He wanted to be a minister at one point in time. He studied philosophy.
Theology.
Yeah, I mean, he you kind of can almost see the puzzle pieces already, like where he comes from.
Right.
And, you know, with all his depression and ups and downs, you can kind of see, like, him pointing in a direction, like, to where he ends up here in a little while. Let's go to the other founding member of the Heaven's Gate. Her name is Bonnie Nettles. You going to read this for me, Kristen? You're a good reader.
And you're a girl.
Bonnie Nettles was born in 1927. She also went by T. She, too, was born and raised in Texas. She was a Baptist, but moved away from the religion when she became an adult. She became a registered nurse and married a man named Joseph Segal Nettles in 1949, in which she had four children with. The marriage started to become rocky in 1972 due to Bonnie's belief that a 19th century monk named Brother Francis was speaking to her and giving her instructions. She started conducting seances with mediums to contact with other spirits and extraterrestrials. She held circle groups at her home every Wednesday also. In 1972, Bonnie went to several fortune tellers. Apparently, she was told by one of them that she would soon meet a mysterious man who was tall with light hair and a fair complexion, and this description was pretty close to Marshall's appearance.
So he was into theology, religion, and she was into more psychic-based, spiritual,
yeah,
medium-type stuff.
So that's why I wanted to talk about this stuff first,
right?
Because you can see puzzle pieces being laid out, like, oh, it's pretty obvious.
18th century knight.
Monk.
Oh, okay, monk.
Wasn't he hearing voices too, though, in the end?
Okay, now,
kind of.
You watch South Park. Do you watch South Park?
No.
You know that episode where there's the whale and they do the voiceover?
Yeah.
The whole thing's trying to get the whale back to the moon, even though it's just those two jackasses trying to play a joke on the kids.
Right.
I feel like that's where this whole thing started, is that these two were just like, hey, let's make a joke cult, and then it actually got people, and then they all killed themselves. Like, I don't know. I feel like it started as a prank, and it's moved on.
It just got out of control.
It just escalated out of control.
Well, in 1972, that's when Marshall and Bonnie met. Now, there's a few different stories on how they met. Like, there's not a straight story. One person claims this, another person claims this. So, the first one is, they met while Marshall was visiting a friend at a hospital, and Bonnie was working as a nurse there. So, they met. That makes sense.
Right.
Then, there's also, someone else says, which I believe it was Bonnie's son that said this. Never mind. Bonnie's daughter. Bonnie's daughter says the two met at a drama school and theater. And Marshall was teaching in the school with one of Bonnie's sons attending it. That's what it was. So, either story could be true.
Right.
But they don't have a for sure way.
That's too kind of extreme, though. You meet, you know, at a hospital through, you know, whatever, or...
And you could even say that that's fate. Like, these two that are kind of out there already, if they believe that that fate has brought them together and they kind of share the same views.
Right.
So, I mean, again, more puzzle pieces to whichever story, either way, like whether it's him teaching at a school.
Right.
And she comes and meets him there, or him visiting whatever. It's still fate. in probably their eyes.
And she was a little more aware of it because of something that somebody told her.
Right.
So she was looking for a tall, light-haired...
Whoa. Right. You believe aliens are coming to take our souls too? What?
Okay.
I talk to monks.
They shared the same interest in
theology?
Philosophy?
Theosophy. Like it's because I have it spelled funny. Say it.
Wait.
Philosophy?
I put theosophy. I don't know what I was trying to put.
Maybe you're trying to put philosophy and theology.
It was theology that I remember now. They shared the same interest in theology and biblical prophecy. They became friends, and Marshall later recalled that he felt like he had known her for a long time. He concluded that they had met in a past life. Bonnie did an astrological reading for Marshall. He found an alignment between their stars. Marshall apparently had ideas about heavenly connections and convinced Bonnie that this was the truth. She told him their meeting had been foretold by the extraterrestrials, persuading him that he had a divine assignment. He also had several visions, including one in which he was told that he was chosen for the role like that of Jesus. He decided that Bonnie was to be the sage, he the speaker. They left together on New Year's Day of 1973. Her three youngest children were left to remain with the father. The oldest, who was 20, just lived on her own. She just was kind of forgotten about. So, the extraterrestrials.
So, she basically got this started by putting the ideas in his head from what you just read, right? But
he had his own visions.
Now, before or after. Well, if
they're both cult leaders, then they're both going to be easily persuasive.
Well, so, she was told by a fortune teller that she was going to meet a tall man close to his appearance.
As well. Right.
And he had visions that basically he's Jesus.
Okay, but like Wait, I said...
Well, she wasn't told by the fortune teller, though. She was told by the 18th century.
No.
The fortune teller actually
The fortune teller told her who she was going to meet. She was just
There's a lot of confusing
spiritual
facts.
Spiritual connections with the prophecies are
coming down from
the
aliens.
She was having spiritual connections with the monk and, like, having, like...
Maybe. I didn't
understand. Are they 18th century monk aliens?
There's something that they end up believing later, and I'll get to that later on.
Maybe they were aliens pretending to be 18th century
monks. Well, she just thought that she was, like... spiritually connecting with the
Yeah, she, right. could, she could connect
Maybe
with
Maybe it was the 70s and all these people were on LSD and just tripping balls.
I bet she
It wasn't the 70s yet.
$5 Walmart candles during the seance. No, I'm
The
Shit's got some good things.
So the two ended up living with each other, but their relationship was not a sexual one. Bonnie ended up getting a divorce and lost custody to her children due to her relationship with Marshall. Marshall also broke contact with his family at this time, too. The two believed that they were soulmates. They didn't have sex, though. The two opened a bookstore known as the Christian Art Center. They sold books from a variety of spiritual backgrounds. They also taught a class called No Place, K-N-O-W, Place. They taught mysticism and
theology.
It's mysticism, I think, is what it's called.
What did I say?
Mysticism.
Mysticism?
How would you say it?
Mysticism.
Okay. They taught mythology is what it's really called.
Okay.
Mythology and theos.
They
theology. You have every one of these spelled theosophy. So
hey, Notepad doesn't have spell check.
Mythology and theology.
Okay. They closed the store a short time later. In 1973, they traveled around to teach others everywhere their beliefs. While on the road, they didn't have any money, so they would sell blood or work odd jobs. They would only eat bread rolls sometimes, camp out, and they would ditch out. They would ditch out and wouldn't pay the bills on hotels. So they're doing everything they can.
I can't judge for.
You we know, have some a couple friends stuff, that so. May be in a cult. Yeah. They like to sell their blood. Yeah. Shout out, won't say their names.
Probably ditch out on a few things here and there. But, you know,
you can make good money on blood though. But, I'm just too nervous.
Especially if you have rare blood.
Platelet. I have O negative.
I'm gonna sell you.
I'm saving myself for myself. I'm harvesting my own blood for later.
I'm going to go back to my deep web contacts. I'll see what I can get for you.
Well, see, so they're already, like, going around, you know, trying to teach whatever it is they believe at this time. I'm not real sure what they were believing in the early days of their group.
Right.
But, so they're already doing it, and they're already hustling to do it, more or less. In 1974, they went to Houston to meet with a friend. She ended up being the first convert to their group. The two pulled their beliefs from the New Testament and teaching about Christology? Christology? How do you say it?
Are you just going to put an ology or osophy behind
that's
Christianity.
Words? Christianity?
Okay, well, I'll say that.
You're creating new words.
This is what I copied and pasted a lot of this.
You have a hard time speaking regular words. You're making up your own now that you can't pronounce.
Hey. And what did he say? He made fun of me downstairs whenever I said, what was it? Mind washing. Mind washing. Yeah. Brain washing.
Now he has theosophy and Christology and all kinds of good stuff in here.
Theoscopy.
Yeah.
Studying theology. Oscopianology.
Teaching
it's the New Testament.
It's the psychology of theology.
The two pulled their beliefs from the New Testament and teaching about Christianity.
Oh my God, this is
atheism and eschatology.
The information I wanted to use. Okay,
that's not atheism.
Asectism? Is that what it's supposed to be?
Probably.
Asexism?
Asectism.
Asectism?
Avoiding
now if it's asexism, I can believe that because I know that they do later on go and get their shit chopped off.
Well, don't
you're gonna edit that out. We're trying to figure out words right now. We can't even say the words, let alone put on a podcast.
This is great.
The two pulled their beliefs from the New Testament and Christianity and some other BS.
I was right. Asceticism. Severe self-discipline, avoidance of all forms of indulgence, typically for religious reasons.
Okay.
That would be one.
One for the team.
Yeah, you're going to have to scoot back up. They concluded that they had been chosen to fulfill a biblical prophecy, and they had been given higher level minds than other people. They wrote a pamphlet that described Jesus' reincarnation as a Texan, which would end up being Marshall. So, now they're passing out this pamphlet, trying to say that...
Whoever you copied and pasted this from is getting a bad review.
It's just like...
I can't read either.
I'm just like...
No, it's not... there's biblical, but it'd be bibliological prophecies.
Well, I'm just thinking...
killing me that...
Two Texans say that Christ is going to be reborn as a Texan. It's like, come on. It's like, really?
Yeah! Jesus is from Texas, and his name's Marshall!
Marshal of the law.
That's right. Marshal Jesus
Christ.
And he's going to be played by Chuck Norris in the movie.
So in 1974, Marshall was arrested in Harlington, Texas, for failing to return a car he had rented out of Missouri. He spent 6 months in a St. Louis jail. This is where he really thought about the theology of his religion and the extraterrestrials. When he got out, he started finding more followers. They would have meetings where they would recruit, and they would call them the crew. At the events, they wanted to represent beings from another planet, which they called the next level, who sought participants for an experiment. They claimed that those who agreed to take part in the experiment would be brought to a higher evolutionary level. The group was called the Anonymous Sexaholics Celibate Church. But it soon became known as the Human Individual Metamorphosis. So they keep changing the name. So that's why through the whole thing we're just calling them Heaven's Gate, because they went through 10 different names before they settled on Heaven's Gate.
They mean like the oxymoron cult? Sexaholic celibate church. We're sexaholics, but we're also celibate.
Well, maybe you were once a sexaholic and now you are celibate.
So then you would just say celibate.
That's awfully masochistic of yourself to join a cult like that. You know, I'm a sex...
I got
I'm
the best of both worlds.
But I'm celibate. I hate myself
you
so much.
You should have made the title more clear, sir, because I'm a sexaholic. And on my weekend days, I like to be a celibate.
I'm so confused.
I was reading y'all's pamphlet, and it said sexaholic, and I'm here for that. I didn't get much further.
I need my chip.
That's all I saw was the first word. I'm in.
Wait, I need one chip for being a sexaholic and one chip for being a celibate.
So Marshall believed that the show Star Trek, they were communicating to him from aliens who would use phrases from the show, like...
Excuse me.
The aliens that would communicate with them were using phrases from Star Trek. Okay.
Why do they gotta drag Star Trek into this?
Okay. Hold on.
Now, again...
No. You know that thing in the news today where it's like kids shouldn't play video games because they're violent and they'll do things they see on TV?
So
this is the thing. TV was just coming into popularity and people were watching it. They're like, oh, aliens. Like,
see, now, I don't know how much of this information is going to be 100% accurate. This could be after the fact added, too, to make them crazy. And I've said this before, like in our Ed Gein episode. Sometimes I feel like it's a normal person, but then after they do something crazy, you're like, oh, yeah, by the way,
they did this.
They add stuff. So I don't know how much of this is true. This is just what I found in the research. So take it for what it's worth. But it's out there.
They were real disappointed whenever they knew that it was a model going across a blackboard whenever they were flying through space. Right.
I mean, that being said, though, these people probably were nutcases.
Right, right.
Well, absolutely. If you don't fit in somewhere else, who do you do? You just make another cult, and then you can fit into your own crap.
You find your own birds to flock with.
Start a cult.
Like, I'm not the only crazy person out there.
Right.
We should start a cult.
Who you can? I already got one started. It's me and him and two kids.
We're called the family. We're going to take a break real quick, and when we come back, we'll get into some more craziness.
Hey, this is Rich and Bajan from the Armchair Ninja Podcast.
What up?
Do you like American Ninja Warrior as much as we do? Because we love it.
Every week we get together, talk about American Ninja Warrior, Team Ninja Warrior, even Spartan Race, man. We do all of it.
What the greatest part, though, is we get to talk to some of our favorite ninjas and some of your favorite ninjas like Captain NBC, Jamie Ron, Joe Morovsky,
Jeff Britton, Jesse Graff, even Matt Eisman, man.
Even when the show's not on the air, we find something to talk about every single week because there's all kinds of things that I think a lot of people don't even know are out there, like the National Ninja League.
We cover all of it. So yeah, guys, check us out. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, all of that. Check us out at ninjapodcast.com. And once again, Armchair Ninja Podcast. Deuces, y'all.
Project Archivist, the podcast that talks about the weird, the wonderful, and the strange. Join us every week as your hosts Rojan and Lobo take a different look at the world around us through guest interviews, discussion, or taking a look at the week's weirdest news. Find us at www.projectarchivist.com, on iTunes in the podcast section, or on the Stitcher Android app.
We are back. I'll let you kick this part off because you were talking about it, Kristen. Thank you for burping.
I'm sorry.
That was a nasty burp.
It was a cauliflower and broccoli burp. I'm so sorry.
I can smell it from here.
Is it bad?
Ooh, yeah.
Okay.
Healthy eating. It does wonders for your body.
Yeah. So go ahead and this is all you because I think this is some of the stuff you're talking about.
DJ has a candle to his face. I'm sorry. Okay, so in 1975, Marshall started going by the name Bo, and Bonnie went by Peep. Oh, that's cute.
Oh.
Gay!
They had about 70 followers and believed themselves to be shepherds, tending to a flock. Marshall, or Bo, believed that complete separation from earthly desires was a prerequisite of ascension to the next level and emphasize passages in the New Testament. In which Jesus spoke about forsaking worldly attachments, members were consequently instructed to renounce friends, family, media, drugs, alcohol, jewelry, facial hair, and sexuality. I'm done. I'm out. The members were also required to go by a biblical name. Then they were told to choose a two-syllable name that ended in Odie. And had three consonants in the first syllable. Examples being Rakoti, Jamadi, or Jamodi, and Lavodi.
So they're spelt, the first one, Rakoti, is R-K-K-O-D-Y.
Arkady. Oh, maybe it's Arkady.
I don't know. And then
Jamadi.
Jamadi is J-M-M-O-D-Y.
Lavodi.
L-V-V-O-D-Y.
Oh, okay.
So my name would be Toby. I would just put two more T's on there.
They would love me. Mine's K.
Oh, well, I guess that'd have to be Totodi.
KKK Modi.
You have to have Odie at the end. Wasn't that what it was?
Yeah, Odie.
KK Odie. KKK Odie. I would actually have a really sweet name being in that cult. KKK Odie.
So, they usually stayed at a remote campground and did not speak about their beliefs with other people. They started to become private and only teaching to the already converted members of the group.
So they didn't get any more to come in. They just stuck within their limits.
Right, for a while. Marshall... So, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm still stuck on k-k-k-k. It sounds like a... Like a cowboy with a stutter.
Let me just say, I would become the cult leader. They had to have
three syllables. I don't know. It's
with that triumphant of a name, I'd be the cult leader, and Bo and Peep would be my followers.
Is that a dog or is it a coyote?
But you know what I just thought of?
Coyote.
That really starts. It starts to take away. This comes into play later, but it starts to take away individuality. Right. Like. Because if everyone is
it makes them all one. You don't. They're no longer
And you don't
themselves.
Have to remember names. You just have to make a syllable noise and go, Odie.
Hey, Odie. Yeah. That's what you have to say. Just Odie. As long as you get the Odie right, then you're good.
That's what I would do. My name would be Modi. Just because that would be the easiest. Marshall and Bonnie were in constant fear of being assassinated. They taught their followers that their deaths would be similar to those of the two witnesses of the Book of Revelation. In 1976... to 1979, Marshall started to call himself Doe, while Bonnie called herself T. It was believed that any money the group had obtained came from inheritance of a member or donations from the followers' income. Some members still held jobs working with computers or as car mechanics. Marshall did not let his followers contact friends or family for fear that they would be encouraged to leave. He made his followers dependent on him. He one time told the followers to stay outside all night for a visitation from extraterrestrials. When nothing happened, he told them it was a test of their faith. The members were constantly seeking approval from Marshall.
Smooth ass.
So.
And you're too fucking blonde!
It is. It's we were talking about it earlier off microphone, how much it's like Fight Club. Right. Like when the Project
You're
Mayhem.
You're not a fucking believer. That's why they didn't come.
You're too fat! What's he say to Bob?
I don't remember.
But it is. He is. He's making them very dependent. He's making them like hang on every word he says.
Right. So they definitely have their plan planned out for it's going to happen, and they're doing good on that.
I don't think they really had, like, a direction. I think they were just kind of going with
it. Well, they're pretty good at mind washing, brainwashing, whatever you want to call it. But I do have a question, though, because around this time, the same time, isn't he doing the same thing in, like, a whole other town?
Kind of. It's called the family, because it's the Manson family.
Well, because you know that they had one phone in, like, the congregation that they would call out.
Right.
And when something bad was happening, that was how they communicated, and that's how they can join, like, cults.
It makes you wonder if they had any kind of, like, crossings with the Manson family, or...
Well, these guys, weren't they in Texas at the time? The Mansons were California,
well,
right?
This group kept moving around. They are nomads, moving everywhere.
Manson was scared of no bitch. He was like, I'm in California, and I got a phone.
These guys were paranoid. They were going to get killed by someone that they
He's
didn't
like,
even know.
Come and get me!
You know. Nobody had heard of them yet.
Red State.
Yeah. In 1983, Marshall did allow the members to call their families on Mother's Day. They weren't allowed to say a whole lot and were instructed to tell their families that they were studying computers at a monastery. He wanted to make sure the families knew that they were there under their own free will. Also, in 1983, Bonnie had to have an eye removed due to cancer. She was diagnosed with this several years earlier. She ended up passing away 2 years later in 1985. So this is where it's about to take a turn.
Right.
Because this is his soulmate.
Right.
Leaving.
And usually when somebody you really care for passes,
oh,
you go one of two ways.
Right.
You're grounded.
Go wild.
Or you're going to go nuts.
So Marshall told his followers that she traveled to the next level due to having too much energy to remain on Earth. He managed to work her death into their belief system and only had one member leave the group after she passed. Marshall claimed that Bonnie still was talking to him after her death. He told his followers that Bonnie left him behind because he still had more to learn and claimed she had a higher spiritual role than he did.
See, and this is weird because, like, if this happened in 1985, anybody who knows this would... And, like, I mean, that was when medical stuff was really going on, and to anybody who was in that medical world would have been like, oh, this is not a cult, this is a psychological break, and he's having a nervous fucking breakdown.
Right.
So we need to evacuate. But, I mean, I guess they were already brainwashed enough to where they didn't think to leave and to stand by him, but... Ugh.
Well, he started... As when he would talk about her, he would start to refer to her as the father or use other male pronouns to describe her. He told his followers that her spirit had traveled to a spaceship and received a new body, and the same would happen to them. Basically, heaven was actually a planet with a highly evolved beings, and a physical body was required to ascend there. He believed Jesus was an extraterrestrial. The original Jesus. Uh-huh. Not him. Uh-huh. Not the Texan Jesus.
Not the reborn Texas one.
Right. Over the years, they had several hundred people join and leave the group. In 1990, they had as little as 26 members. In 1993, they started to call themselves Total Overcomers Anonymous. They spent $30,000 to publish a full-page ad in the USA Today that warned of a catastrophic judgment on Earth.
Their cult is like one big sex joke.
What do you mean?
First, they're like the sexaholic, like right, celibate. Sexaholic, now they're celibate. The overcomers. Like, that's just kind of like, who's... They need a new marketing agent.
Right.
Anonymous.
We are past our sexaholic. Total we are definitely overcomers now.
We're overcomers now.
We're overcomers, but we don't want to brag about it, so we'll just stay anonymous.
You know.
Yeah. In 93 or 94, Marshall decided to start to call his group the Heaven's Gate. So we're at Heaven's Gate finally, after
all the history.
He published some of his teachings on the internet and got some bad feedback he didn't like. Some people speculate that this may have been one of the reasons he ended up taking his life.
The internet is a nasty place, sir.
Which
is really weird that he would reach out like that in that manner.
Yeah, but this was the 90s. We really didn't have such things as trolls. Well, we did, but we didn't
have the first ones. Like,
the first troll.
The original first troll got to him.
Yeah. They didn't have LOLs or BRBs or,
you know.
BRB.
In 95, they bought 40 acres in New Mexico where they built a compound and called it Earthship. They ended up having to move to San Diego area where they constantly were moving from house to house. This group isn't having any luck.
No.
They're trying to settle down. It's not working out.
No, bubble's been popped because he came out on the internet.
Well, did it say why he couldn't stay at the 40 acres in New Mexico?
No, I should have looked a little more into that.
Right.
It's probably a mental thing of his wife and everything. And I believe that if maybe he moved off to another area, that maybe he felt it was a new beginning. He had more control of something new, because if it's a new area, then people are going to rely on you, especially if they've been following you for all this time. So it's like,
I'm more curious about that 40 acres, though. That could be some prime real estate. I don't know. You know, who does that? Who buys 40 acres?
Manson owns that from the jail cells.
Probably.
I mean, homie
gets married. And you over here like,
he bought that off the deep web, radio. Okay.
The early stages of the deep web. Yeah.
Heaven's Gate Realty up for sale. Only about 100.
I'm going to have to get online later and see what I can find out.
Bitcoins.
Yeah. Get some bitcoins.
The group was told constantly that their sexual relationships were a big no-no. Several of the men went ahead and opted for the surgical castration.
Nope.
I'm so confused. How did them being seen and being told that it was a no-no about how... are you talking about like them having like...
Having
same-sex marriage?
No, having sex.
Just sex with each other?
Sex was...
Trolls were really cruel back then.
No, like they just looked at it as... They were... All these people wanted to ascend to a higher evolutionary level. That's the whole point of this, is they believed in a higher evolution. Having sex is a primitive thing to them. So to get rid of that desire,
but
I don't want to say anything because I am the person who's going to debunk everything and be the mean person.
But
don't we all believe in a higher evolution? Not necessarily extraterrestrials, but you all believe in something higher and a bigger power. And whether it's extraterrestrials for some people or God for some people, like, it's kind of like you can't really be so forceful with your believings if.
Okay, but look at it this way. They're pretty much being warped into believing this. So, you know.
Star Trek is a devil.
Be that as it may. You know, I mean, I can't really fault them for believing that whenever they're being crammed down.
Well, that's,
the, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Like cult,
and that was another thing I was going to say. Cults are usually formed because if someone has nothing to believe.
Right.
And no desire to believe in something, but someone gives that to them and they love them enough to say, this is how it's going to be, you know, and have, you know, if somebody is, I guess, if they are so tore down inside and they believe they have nobody, and then someone comes along and they give them everything in the world and they're like, this is a whole family, everyone here loves you, then that's going to bring more followers, and then that's going to make somebody who is just undoubtedly just devoted to this whole entire thing. So I can understand that. You prey on the weak, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right, right.
You must like the word cult. I know.
Yeah, I know. Well, I felt funny
cult,
saying
though.
It this whole time.
I don't like cult. A cult is just a religion that it's not very popular. That's what a cult is. It's
well,
an unpopular
those
religion.
Those people who have a cult
and
could
a religion
look at us
is
and
a popular cult. It's the same thing.
And say that our Christianity or our Catholicism or anything like that, that's a cult.
It is.
Which
it's just a large cult,
and
especially Catholicism. Catholicism is creepy. Have you ever been to a Catholic church?
No. I have, and I've been to a Catholic wedding, and I'm sorry,
I won't
go into detail because that's kind of mean. But
it's
I just think it is. They are very repetitive. If you don't know what they're saying, then you're left out.
Yeah,
it is all by book based, and it is very. I guess, unfortunately, people say that it is cult like because if you don't know what they're saying, then you are left out.
Like communion. Like, eat the body and drink the wine, you know, the cracker and the wine. It's
the last
blood.
Person I saw take communion, let's just say she was heavy on the bottle, because
she tipped it
and then tipped the end of the glass at
right.
the very end
but
to get the wine.
If it's wine and a cracker and it's supposed to symbolize the blood in the body, what if a satanic cult wanted to symbolize Satan's body and they drank blood and ate a cracker? And
right.
symbolically, like, everyone would be like, that's so weird, that's so creepy, but it's okay when Catholics do it.
And another thing is, though, if you're
there's
all,
double standards
which
everywhere.
Now they like, do actually put into little tiny glasses, but the Catholic wedding that I went to, they all drink out of the same glass.
Yeah.
Ew.
Which is like, you better have some higher faith, because there may be some STDs rolling around in this place, and you're about to catch them through the wine glass.
Anyway, yeah.
Hey, wasn't there this thing about Heaven's Gate we were
talking
about? You know.
We were talking about their sex.
I
don't like
can't ever go
cult.
Off topic and have fun. Thanks a lot, Toby.
I'm not.
I was the one that said it. Thank
so,
you.
But back to their
thanks, Rudy.
Back to You're their welcome. Sexuality. Marshall explained it that the most powerful force that bonded them to their body was sexuality. So, if you didn't have a sexual life, then you were able to ascend from your earthly body.
Wasn't sexuality though the most powerful force that had made them evolve up to that point?
Until they were castrated.
That's what I'm saying. It's
well,
like,
but their belief is
look
that,
over like millions of years
to get to the next level.
But when you believe that, you know,
probably the same thing of which came first, the chicken or the egg.
And I can tell you right now, if sexuality is what's holding you back, I should be floating with the angels right now. Okay.
According to Marshall, the next level beings had no reproductive organs. He also cited a verse from the New Testament that said there would be no marriage in heaven. This led to the requirement of members to have similar clothing and haircuts to maybe reinforce that they were a non-sexual family. So they started looking like each other. So, you know, you look
right.
like each other, you have
becoming
no nuts,
one.
You're probably not going to be attracted
to... And how
to...
charismatic are you to be able to get a man to cut off his own junk? You
That's
know what
ridiculous.
I mean? Willingly.
I know.
Man.
Pretty smooth.
I know.
Wouldn't you
right?
like to be the guy that was, like, kicked out?
Or that you left?
No, but it was kicked out like 2 weeks before they do this mass suicide thing for trying to like get with some chick in the Heaven's Gate cult. They're just like, all right, you're out, and then they're all dead next week. You're like, wow,
ooh, I dodged that.
Dodged a
damn! I missed the spaceship.
Shit!
Thank God I still got Star Trek.
Yeah. I'll just watch it on a rerun.
On October 1996, the group rented a mansion in Rancho Santa Fe, California. They made two video messages telling their viewers a last chance to evacuate Earth. So, starting to get close.
Right.
Do you think them telling their viewers that would be anything like us talking to our viewers and
our listeners?
Listening.
Yeah.
This is your last chance. Order now.
Right. There's come on down.
When people are like, evacuate Earth. Like, join. I guess it was just them saying, join them.
Yeah. Or, this is your last chance to ascend to the next level.
I'm like, I'm going underground.
Get your tickets to the Hale Bop Express.
Yep.
Ladies and gents.
So we are about to get to the comments and stuff. Let's take another small break. And we will get right into the main event of all this cold. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Nock from the Geek Yogurt Podcast. Tune in every week as we discuss movies, TV, comics, and video games. We are on Podbean, iTunes, Satchel, or on your favorite podcast app. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at Yogurt Podcast and weigh in on our weekly topics.
Our state of mind, our perception, our thoughts build up the world around us. Do you want to be a slave of your mind or seize control and live the life you've always wanted? The choice is yours. Join me on Almighty Psyche and find out how you and I are the creators of our own universe. Follow me on Twitter, Almighty Psyche. Follow me on Facebook.com/AlmightyAndre. Send me an email for any questions or any topics that you'd like to cover at almighty.andre@genkstudios.com. almighty.andrey@genkstudios. See you soon, almighty listeners.
Do you ever wonder when Spider-Man goes to the bathroom if the toilet paper sticks to his fingers?
Do you ever wonder why Superman wears his underwear outside of his pants?
My name is Imran.
My name is Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And we're your hosts for the Jock and Nerd Podcast, where we sometimes try to attempt to answer these questions.
This is a full spoiler podcast, and we swear a lot.
Check it out for awesome geek news, interviews, and comic book reviews. Visit jockandnerd.com. We are your superhero TV, movies, and comic book culture curators.
Boom.
Jockandnerd.com.
Jock and Nerd!
We are back. Kristen, would you do me the pleasure of reading this little paragraph right here? Because I'm tired of reading so much.
Yes. Okay, so they found out about the comet Hale-Bopp that was coming very soon. Marshall started believing that Bonnie was in a spaceship behind the comet coming to transport his followers to a heaven-like destination. He also believed the government had a conspiracy to suppress any information about the craft. Not much is known on how he found out about the comet or why he believed a spacecraft was following it for him and his followers.
So,
to boldly go.
Can we pause for a second, because do you have in there that the comet was obviously, like, had been seen for, like, 18 months by the human eye through a scope? Do you have that in there?
No.
Like, it was very well known that the comet was there?
Well, I know, but, like, we don't, there's no information on, like, where he first heard about it. Like,
probably
there's
TV. They televise all
right,
that stuff.
But
right. And he was on the internet. He was on the internet.
Oh, are you recording right now?
Yeah.
Oh.
But, like, I mean,
I wasn't meaning for you to record, but I was just asking. I looked up what the Hale-Bopp comet was.
It would have been something good to ask. I mean, regardless.
Well, that's why
that's interesting.
That's why I put that in there. That it's unknown where, like, that where he found out about it. What gave him the idea of there's a spaceship behind it? Like, no one knows those details. Like,
well,
yeah,
Bodie was going off onto the library and finding out about this stuff and coming back and using it as a weapon, probably because everybody else knew about it. They knew that it was a double-wide comet that was in the sky for a long time that everybody knew about. But he was using it to his advantage, I guess.
Yeah, because Hale-Bopp only has a 4,000-year rotation around the sun.
Is that what it is? Yeah. I was going to look that up.
Oh, if only them dead people knew that now.
Right. So it was a big deal.
Yeah, this. So it's only going to come once in...
every 4,000 years.
Yeah. So
right. The astrological community made a big deal of it. That's probably where you heard about it.
Right, but if you were a follower, wouldn't... I mean, I don't know. I guess as a follower, I'd want to know proof. Like, is this thing going to hit us?
See, that's why you'll never be a follower, is because they're blindly devoted to... Yeah, to their cause. You know, they're going to believe everything he says as their gospel, you know.
It's, I don't know, it's so weird.
That's part of the cult being mentality. Being brainwashed, so. I guess, right. Yeah.
Mindwashed. That's going to become a trend. Yeah. Just wait.
Hashtag mindwashed. In 1997, they recorded their farewell statements. Most of the members praise Marshall in the videos. In Marshall's final video, he called the suicides the final exit, and also said, "We do, in all honesty, hate this world." Pretty bold. I mean,
which is funny because on their website, their view on suicide is they say it goes against the very teaching of going to the next level.
Well, their views changed. He changed a lot of stuff all throughout. I didn't even write down everything that they changed.
Right.
Because they made it fit to whatever they needed. Or he made it fit to whatever he needed.
But if they were the original creators, then whoever's taking over now is trying to, you know...
Which is silly, because a lot of people believe that how you live here on Earth determines how you live after Earth. And for, you know, him to be like,
but this isn't
we hate
what they
Earth.
Believe. This isn't exactly what they believed. They believed in a...
So they don't have any background... Like, they don't have any... Like, they're not... It's just... Well, I guess I don't really know theology that much. So that's probably a whole different thing. But it's like...
Well, see, they're... We'll get more into
that. What theology is. Theology, like, if you go to college, study theology, you're just studying... The formation and creation of different religions.
And they tell you to hate Earth?
Every religion. Well,
I think
Earth-hating thing is them.
It's right. Him. I think it's him, because this is the
same... I thought maybe it came from the theology thing.
Well,
and I was going to say, well, you're welcome to
this,
live on Earth.
This Earth is the...
Why you figure it out.
The one that shunned him for being homosexual. He had to quit a job.
He lost his soulmate.
He was drafted into the army, like... Yeah, he lost his soulmate.
And that's another thing.
He just had
thing
terrible
too. It doesn't
things.
Say, you know, like, I get it that his soulmate died from heaven, but you think he would have, like, made some big ordeal saying this is something took her.
Yeah,
you know,
no, that's,
or...
that's what he said. Remember, he said that her energy
yeah,
levels
but
were
it,
higher.
Yeah, and I get that, but, like, you think he would have found an enemy also in it, you know, almost like saying...
Yeah, maybe.
Not necessarily.
Christianity,
well,
you know.
if she's ascended
that took,
to the next level,
took
their
our
enemy was the people trying to assassinate them, or...
Yeah, that's
you see,
true.
And that's what I'm saying. Like,
no,
why
they did say
the government
that.
Was chasing them.
Right.
And
but he didn't say that when she... That we know, that
their,
I know
their
of,
enemies
that
were
died.
Their earthly... Whatever's their desires and people and just Earth in general was
that were
their
trying
enemy.
To prevent them from their beliefs,
right?
But you can say they're positive about things, I guess. If he said that she went up onto a spaceship and saw somebody killing her,
right?
Read this about what they did during everything here.
The members took barbiturates or phenobarbital mixed with applesauce and vodka, and then put bags over their heads. The barbiturates are drugs that act as central nervous system depressants used as for general anesthesia, for epilepsy, or for the treatment of acute migraines and cluster headaches.
So, this is how they committed suicide.
Right.
So they OD'd on barbiturates mixed with alcohol and then put bags over their head. Vodka is alcohol last time I checked.
I know, but there's no Kool-Aid. I'm just making that clear. Because I always assumed
it
was Kool-Aid.
But a barbiturate is... Isn't, like, Xanax considered a barbiturate?
I don't know.
I'm not... Yeah, I don't know my drugs very well anymore.
Let's Google it. Is Xanax a
barbiturate? So, I'm out on the drugs. But they also put, what, black shrouds on them, and they wore black Nike shoes, right?
The members wore Nike shoes and black uniforms with patches that read, Heaven's Gate Away Team. A bag that contained a few dollars and a form of identification was placed beside most of the bodies.
Right.
What are you about to say?
Shit, I'm sorry. I didn't
mean to knock that out. Okay, so what did they wear
just
again?
Blame the cat.
Where are you going?
Pee.
Don't flush the toilet.
Yeah, if it's yellow, it can mellow.
They wore black uniforms with patches that read, Heaven's Gate Away
Team. Okay, now why, when you say that, do I just see I mean, we're probably going to edit this part out. But why do I just see Dude, Where's My Car wearing their, like, green sweats and their bubble wrap and going around saying Zoltan? Like, why is that what I see whenever I hear that?
I mean, yeah.
You know, my first thought was...
Or wearing their, like, wearing black sweats and black sweatpants and white shoes and the... Being Project Mayhem, like the first
monkey shot. That's what I'm saying. A lot of this reminds me of some Project Mayhem. Like, they all depended on Tyler or the narrator, whoever you're... But they all depended on that person, and they all became dependent, like, and had to follow everything he said, and, you know, couldn't function without him. So the deaths occurred over 3 days, starting around March 22nd, 1997. Marshall was one of the last four to die. The three assistants helped him commit suicide, and then they killed themselves. An anonymous tip led to the sheriff's department to search the mansion. They found 39 bodies on March 26th. This is the largest group suicide that has occurred in the United States. Marshall was featured on the cover of Time and Newsweek on April 7th. Some people who study this case believe that brainwashing is... a really huge oversimplification of what happened. Some say that Marshall made his followers so dependent on him that they wouldn't be able to survive without him. The easiest way to go was to go with him. He isolated his followers socially and kept them under strict religious belief in them. Most of the 39 that died had been a member for as long as 20 years. Only a few were more recent converts.
I've seen some people do some pretty nutty shit in the as far as religion goes, but this one takes the fucking cake. Let's all wear some black uniforms with some Nike shoes.
And put a plastic baggie over your head. Make sure you have your ID. There was also something that they used to carry $5 in cash and $3. Something about if they
they ever got isolated, they could call them.
They had quarters to call the home ship or whatever they called it.
Did they carry around the couple of bucks, kind of like the River Styx? Were they going to need it for passage?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. And see, again, I feel like some of this information gets twisted up with
all
the
other suicide groups.
Well,
that'd be silly, like, don't drink it's the like Kool-Aid. Your alien creatures take American money.
But didn't we talk about this a while back where they put coins over their eyes so they could cross, you know, things like that?
Maybe it's like cultures. The Rainbow Coalition. You take something from your life, like your present lifetime, like a razor, and you take it out there to their tribal lifetime, and they trade you their handmade items for your razor so they can live things.
I thought the Rainbow Coalition was that gay group. Isn't that a...
No,
I
have no idea what she's talking about. It's not.
Maybe it's like Facebook. Maybe they're only worth what you make them.
They're like, we got a souvenir.
I'm behind in my coalitions, and I don't know.
So, do you want to know like a quick summary of some of the things that they believed in?
Sure, I'm curious.
Other than Star Trek, the Earth was about to be wiped clean, and the only way to survive it was to leave it. So that's why it was so important to follow the comet, because this is the last time that they would be able to leave Earth.
Do they know when? Did they have a date?
Do what?
Did they have a date set for when the Earth was supposed to be wiped clean? Like, you know, the 2012 thing, like December 12th, 2012. Did they have like a date?
Not that I know of. I didn't see any date, but...
All I'm saying is that, like, that whole... Even their first tenet, they believed that the Earth was about to be destroyed. That could have been challenged just by waiting a little while. They didn't do anything.
But this was their
sit down on the couch and watch some TV.
Their only chance that the comet was coming by. They wouldn't get another chance for this.
I did read another article that the Mayan calendar may have played a little bit of a role in some of their beliefs and how they thought
the 2012 stuff?
Yeah. But it was, you know, it was one of those unreliable ones. It wasn't like an official, like, thing.
Right. One of their other beliefs is they were against suicide. They defined suicide in their own context to mean to turn against the next level when it was being offered. So if you committed suicide and it wasn't to reach the next level,
then it was suicide and it was looked down upon.
Right.
But if it was to support why they were committing suicide, then it was okay.
Right.
So they were okay.
So you mean if I proclaim, right now, if I proclaim that I want to reach the next level and I go and jump off your balcony.
Are you Bo?
Well,
or Doe?
Well, what I'm saying
are you a member of Heaven's
Gate? He's a follower.
If I just decide right now to be a follower.
The only people that were talking to, the only one that was getting the information was Marshall. Marshall was getting the information.
Right, and this is all from accurate information. Bonnie. It's real, right?
Which they don't consider that
so
suicide.
I go jump off to your balcony after proclaiming my life and soul to this cult. I get to go chill out on the comic.
No, because Marshall is the one that's intercepting the directions.
Right.
So if you go on your own will and say, hey, I'm doing this for...
So if Bo does it,
Heaven's Gate,
we can do it. That's where that saying, if Bo jumps off of a roof, are you going to jump off a roof?
If Bo,
well, hell yeah, I am.
See, I want to say, I bet it worked as if Bo tells you, or Doe or Marshall... If Marshall tells you to jump off and the bridge and land on your head, then it's okay to commit suicide. But if you do it on your own will, he's going to tell all the other followers he broke the rule. He committed sin.
So you're saying I don't get to go chat on the comic book?
Well, I'm confused. Okay. So if they don't think that that's suicide,
I would
like to know what their definition of suicide was.
It was...
Because, I mean, what they did was pretty much...
What he just said, basically, as long as they can elevate to a higher level, as long as they do it for that cause, then they're okay. But if they don't, then they...
Right, and I get that. But, I mean, like, but if you were to talk to them, and they... And I get that the higher level is, but, like...
Get on their webpage. Like,
I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, like...
I'm sure they have somebody will respond.
Is there something, like... Did they consider someone, you know, like, unfortunately, like, cutting themselves? Is that suicide?
Yes, that's...
But if he does it first, then that's okay? So, I mean, that's...
Yes, yeah. If he were to say that it's okay and this is going to make you go to the next level, then it was okay.
So, I wonder if there's anything that he does that even if they do it too, it's still wrong. Like, if he considered anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Like...
Oh, kind of like...
Like, if he does it... And they still do
if
it.
If he
like
has
it's
sex,
no good.
Right.
If he has sex, it's okay for him to have sex, but not for the other one.
Right.
Basically, do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
That's what you're asking.
Well, about. I think he was pretty strict on following his own rules.
I think so.
So one of their other beliefs is their human bodies were only vessels meant to help them on their journey. They often referred to the body as a vehicle.
So like a spaceship for their souls.
Which a lot of other cultures believe too.
And that's what this all comes down to, is the earthly body is just a temporary
capsule for their souls.
So when they go to the spaceship, they'll get put into this more superior body. And
I wonder how that's working out for
them. You could try to
obviously great.
I
haven't had to come back
yet. Yeah. I just gotta get a hold of the 1800th century monk first.
Right.
So, the members of the group added to the first names they adopted in lieu of their original names, which define Children of the Next Level. So, I guess that's what the OD stood for, is Children of the Next Level?
I guess.
I don't know. That's what it said. I'm just reading.
Well, my question is, though,
I was thinking of that dog from Garfield.
What if Peep would have never died? What if Bo would have still been there? How do they ever consider to continue on their legacy if they didn't feel they didn't feel that they had sex or anything like that? Like, you know, what if somebody went behind their backs and had sex and then a baby came about? They'd be like, "Oh, this is a miracle space baby."
Probably would be.
Yeah, probably. Nobody would want to admit to wrongdoings.
But
I didn't have sex.
Fox baby.
Think of how different this whole thing would have turned out if Bonnie wouldn't have died from cancer.
No, and that's what I feel like. Since she died, it became him a weaker man. That's why he was like, I can't do it alone, because she is my higher power with me, and together we make an ultimate force, so therefore, let's just kill it all.
What if the guy died?
Ooh.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
The bitches live on, and so she would have had a whole another cult going.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. The whole thing about
but for how long?
Whether the guy or the lady died, like... Yeah. Pardon my Fight Club quote, but... On a long enough timeline, the survival rate for everyone drops to zero.
So you think...
One of them would have died eventually, and it would have taken a downhill turn.
Right, so...
And they were both old by this point, weren't they? Like,
yeah,
he
was like 72 or something at this
older
point.
Older than I thought they
were. So the reason... another big belief of why he might have wanted to go ahead and commit suicide. The comment, everything was just perfect for him to be like, look, I'm old and I can't keep this up any longer.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a scapegoat anyway. Possibly.
But if she would have stayed alive, maybe she would have sat there and
broke it up, you think?
No, absolutely not. I bet you she would have been like, let's multiply. Yeah, because they didn't castrate themselves. She would have said, let's multiply and let this live on.
Very possible it could have grown into a huge thing that we may have never heard about. And we all heard about it because of the bizarre nature of why they did it and how it was done.
Right.
Because everyone knows that, like, on that like, mindset of it, her talking to them, people who are lost are going to see a motherly figure.
Right.
And that becomes more soothing to them and more, they become more vulnerable to that.
Either
versus
way.
Versus him being a man and just strengthfully telling him what to do.
Either way, she wouldn't have curved it back around to calm it back down into like when he suggested, hey, let's all kill ourselves. She wouldn't have been like, no. She would have been like, okay, because these two people have personalities that bounce off of
each
other.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it would never become
a
point of killing
if
she hadn't have died.
Yeah, the two of them together
became uncontrollable.
It could still be going on now. It could be just under new management.
For their kids.
Right. Or, you know, they're
more... Peyote and Bo-Odie.
Isn't that what the website is?
Peyote?
See, and that's their fault. And that's people who have... I believe that after it was all said and done, they come back and they believe... They're pretty much taking their fame and they're prospering.
What I'm saying is, are their followers...
Yes, there's
Are their followers real followers? Or are they, like, parody followers? Like, making fun of them?
They're kind of followers?
Yeah.
Kids from their past life where they had a baby and they came
like
back.
The spaghetti monster or dudism.
Yeah, I don't know if they're legit. I would imagine that there are going to be some legit followers. If there are, we would like to talk to you. Email us at secrettransmission@hotmail.com.
Well, I believe
find us on Twitter.
I believe there's some people out there that if they don't fit into the group that they're currently in, they're going to find the most bizarre thing to follow because that gains them, you know, like followers or attention and stuff like that. So I believe that sometimes this may be like a
maybe.
Hey, I'm on my own, so why not follow the most bizarre cults there was and keep it going? So they're able to get the attention that they need, even if it is a troll on the internet.
So we talked about the beliefs and everything. Again, they believe that to be eligible for membership in the next level, humans would have to shed every attachment on the planet. For example, friends, family, sexuality, jobs, possessions, money. They also believed in walk-ins, which means basically they were possessed by spirits from another planet or spirits from long ago. A monk. They believed that ancient astronauts visited Earth a long time ago, and they planted the seed of humanity millions of years ago. Only a few will be saved, and the rest of the world would be left in a poisoned atmosphere of a corrupt world. Only the ones that were involved with Heaven's Gate were the chosen ones.
What ancient astronauts?
I don't know. That's their belief.
That is not any more ridiculous than anything else.
You've never heard of the ancient astronaut theory?
It's I've never neat. Heard of that.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Eric Von Daniken pioneered it back in the...
Are you speaking gibberish?
No, that's his name. No, it's
got,
actually...
I feel like that's a villain on a Marvel comic or something.
It's kind of a neat
theory. What's his name?
Eric Von Daniken.
Maybe it's just the Von. I'm thinking of Von Doom. Von yeah. is immediately
that's just so
a
weird,
villain.
It's like ancient astronauts. To me, I think about, you know, like...
That's like saying...
Us going up to Mars or space or something. And it's
that's
like,
not saying... Earth, they were Earth astronauts. It's just
like spiritual
random
almost?
Aliens come by
no,
and drop
like,
off Earth,
like actual
off.
Like aliens have visited us since the beginning of time.
That's another
just kind of like to check on our progress.
They got human
or
names?
I don't know.
You called it by a human name?
What?
You said what? Eric what?
That's
no,
the
that's
author.
The guy.
That's the author.
Oh, I thought you were saying that's like one of the astronauts. I was to say that is like the most.
No,
we may have to touch on that more though, and talk about that on a separate episode.
Well, that's also like similar to what Scientologists believe is that
is it?
Aliens
no.
came to Earth
now,
and planted the seeds of life.
We need to do a Scientology episode too.
But Scientologists
well, if
also
we do
believe
a Scientology
that...
episode, then we got to do a Christianity episode and an Islam episode and a Buddhism episode because they're all just
baptism,
different religions.
Catholicism.
But the thing is, ancient astronaut theory is not a religion. It's just like a scientific theory that they're
right.
trying to prove. you know.
I've never heard of it.
Is it?
But these guys believe that, which makes it, at least in some point,
I find it fascinating. I don't know what I want to believe on it. It makes it
at least partially a religion, because these guys, a cult, believe that aliens dropped off humans on Earth.
They've incorporated it into it.
And Scientologists believe that aliens dropped off human on Earth. Like, it's somewhat of a religion.
Scientologists are more like, when you die, you go to a spacecraft. Kind of like
these guys.
I don't know, you got it right.
Kind of like these guys. Right,
you got it. You really got to look into Scientology.
The only thing,
man,
I know about Scientology is what they've showed on South Park.
All I know is that Tom Cruise was a big follower of it.
A lot of big.
Well,
the richer you are, the better
reason.
Off you are in Scientology, don't you know?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You pay money to be elevated to higher thetan levels.
Right. No, for real.
Is that like satanic?
No.
You pay money. And the more money you dump in, the higher of a thetan level you get, and you basically just get closer to God.
We'll watch the
God.
South Park episode in a little while.
The South Park episode is what they believe. Just like the Book of Mormon.
I see what you're saying now. I thought you just meant, like, if you sell your soul or something.
No, you donate money, and it just... Like,
well...
There's, like, level 9s and level 10s. And
then why aren't they broke?
Because
them bitches are on, like, level 21, and they are still
Tom Cruise
rich.
And John Travolta.
They've got a bunch of these Hollywood types, and it's... Man, it's closed door.
L. Ron Hubbard, the guy who made the Church of Scientology, was a science fiction writer.
Right.
Like,
and this Scientology is based off one of his books.
And it just blew up.
Yep.
Like every other cult and or / religion.
So, we may have talked about these, but here's some other facts on the Heaven's Gate. The group earned their revenues by offering professional website development for paying clients under the name HireSource.
Ooh, that seems so familiar sounding.
8 of the male members of the group, including Marshall, voluntarily underwent castration in Mexico. Authorities found the dead lying neatly in their own bunk beds, faces and torsos covered by square purple cloth. Among the dead was Thomas Nicholas, brother of actress Nichelle Nicholas?
Thomas Nichols, brother of the actress Nichelle Nichols.
Okay. Thomas Nichols. Did I say it wrong again?
Yeah.
No,
you did it again.
Nichols. It's not Nicholas, it's Nichols.
Thomas Nichols, brother of actress Nichelle Nichols, who is best known for her role as Uria in the original Star Trek television series. The age groups were between... In the original Star Trek television series.
So he believed it too?
Yeah, one of the Star Trek's actresses' brother.
She never took him on set?
I don't know. Well, no, not in the Star Trek stuff. I don't know. I didn't look too much more into that after that. The age groups were between the ages of 26 and 72. Only one of the group's members, Rio D'Angelo and...
Angelo.
Oh, wait, hold on. Only one of the group's members, Rio... Rio D'Angelo did not kill himself. He videotaped the mansion in Rancho Santa Fe. However, the tape was not shown to police until 2002, 5 years after the event. Two former members of Heaven's Gate, Wayne Cook and Charlie Humphreys, later committed suicide in a similar manner. Humphreys survived a suicide pact with Cook in May 1997, but ultimately killed himself in February 1998. Now...
They weren't ready.
There are a couple of there's one...
When they say 2002, I was like, oh, okay. And they said 5 years after. It just blew my mind to think that 2002 was only 5 years after these psychos tried to kill themselves.
I know.
Like, I was alive in 2002. Well, they're talking about the 70s. I'm like, whatever, I wasn't alive in that time period. I don't care.
Well, all this happened in 97.
Right.
When were you born?
93.
I was like
14. I was old enough to understand somewhat, at least, what the hell's going on.
So, 97. How old am I? 9? So I'd have been 9?
No.
Yeah?
97.
89,
90. 97, I was 4.
Plus 10.
It's 97. So only 7.
2002, I thought y'all were talking about
1997. So I would have been 9.
14.
I would have been 9 in 1997. I don't remember any of this going on.
My parents weren't as cool as I thought they were, because I thought I was watching some of the coolest shit.
I
played Doom.
The old Doom.
The old Doom.
Now, I did, however... Let me find it.
But this was about the same time, though, that OJ and shit was going on, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, when did the OJ... I think that was, like, 98.
OJ, Columbine, Oklahoma City. So that
totally blew everything out of the
water.
Wasn't
Waco going on around in the 90s, too? Like 95-ish?
Yeah, something like that. So a lot of crazy stuff probably was in the news.
A lot of crazy shit was going on in the 90s, that's for sure.
Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I was graduating high school when this was going on.
I don't remember. I don't even remember.
Oh, it was huge news.
It was like all hell broke loose.
I don't remember any of it, but I was like 4.
And Star Trek. Yeah. I love Star Trek. Yeah.
I remember.
I was probably way too into Hey Arnold and Cat Dog and stuff to know anything about grown-up issues.
You know, because I grew up in a really poor, like, home, so we had an antenna which had 3 channels, which mostly was news channels.
Right.
So the only time I wasn't watching news was when I was playing video games. So A, I was either playing a lot of video games, or B, I was actually outside.
So when doing all this research, I did notice that Heaven's Gate actually has a podcast, and they've only posted 1 episode, and it was June 14th, 2013 was the one and only episode that they posted.
Huh.
And I listened to it, and it's 33 minutes of an old man and some interesting people telling stories that drag on forever.
Maybe it was the guy that left the Heaven's
Gate. It is. His name, it was Sawyer. I didn't do any information
on
him.
So he actually, like...
But he does talk on it, so if you want to go listen to that podcast, there's only 1 episode. It's called Heaven's Gate Cast, and they've got their little Heaven's Gate logo on there, and it's rough. But he does talk about how he met, which he calls T and Doe or whatever, but how he met Marshall and Bonnie. But they do have new followers, and it's interesting. I don't know. Someone has to be... paying for the website to stay up, right?
I mean, because it's still
not
up.
Not that much, though.
It's still up. It's still functional, but it's pretty much remained untouched.
Yeah, that's what I've
There's
read.
There's no recent updates on anything on it, so the original website, you can still go
to
it.
Well, if anybody's seen the house that they died in, that's a pretty upscale house for being, like, in California.
Well, they rented it.
Well, I thought that they owned it.
No, do you think they sold that house afterwards or rented it out?
Who would buy it?
Rented it out.
Really?
Who are you kidding?
I would.
High
I mean,
real estate.
I'd buy the shit out of that house.
They'd be like, what?
Send us an email. Oh, sorry. Send us an email, rep@heavensgate.com. Let's send them an email.
You send them the email, and you can deal with that, because I don't know... what I would want to say to him. I would like to talk to one of the Heaven's Gate who is an actual member and not a troll, just to kind of see if there's something we're
Maybe
missing.
Maybe got shut down by our own troll.
Well, if you look
Shout
at the,
out to you, troll.
If you look at the website and, like...
Don't give him props.
Like, you can tell it hasn't been touched for a while.
You don't know.
Like, obviously, they're a podcast, you can't see it, but if you look at it, it's HTML.
Yeah,
like,
it's
an HTML website.
It's bright colors.
Do it with the future,
let me explain it. It's got a starry background. It's got neon colors. It's a black background, too, with neon text. And
the very top of it says, Red Alert, Hellbot brings closure to Heaven's Gate.
Like, they've got... It's definitely HTML. They might have a little bit of CSS on here to, like, pretty it up a little bit, but...
It's pretty interesting. What's that website?
It's just heavensgate.com.
Oh, yeah. They even got a .com, not a .net.
Right.
And they are our sponsor for the episode, so thank you for the contributions. No, just kidding. Final thoughts on the Heaven's Gate cult?
I think it's...
Religious group, whatever you want to call it.
I think it's interesting that we played out the what-ifs. What if she lived? What if he died? What if they both lived? You know, it could have been any possible number of scenarios that happened through...
What if they both died?
Then
there you go.
38 survivors. Then
well, like, what do we do? What do we do now? I guess we just go home.
I feel like that it's 2 people that couldn't necessarily hack a relationship together. That they had to bring everybody in it together with them. But I get that they believe certain things. But I don't know. I just think that it's really weird what they did think at the time.
You know, I mean. It's really no.
You think of it, it's like they looked at Star Trek and was like, "I'm gonna follow this forever."
Well, no, I feel like they got ideas from Star Trek, and you know, I don't know. I just, there is some weird stuff, but it's nothing it's better. No weirder.
There was moon landing during that time too, though.
But it's no weirder than someone, a religious person, seeing the face of Jesus in their toast. You know, like they, you get weird signals from everywhere. You know, I mean,
people reading things into things.
Yeah. And so like, if he's sitting there saying, you know, Star Trek is communicating, or I feel like I'm being communicated
with their phrases,
with the phrases from Star Trek. I mean, he found hope, right. You know, he found whatever he was, I don't know. Do you think that they were crazy? I mean, let's just throw it out there. Do you think that this was...
What if they were fertile to begin with, and this is their way of having children?
Well, they had children. Both of them had children.
Yeah, with other marriages, though.
In their first marriages, Bonnie had like 4 kids, and...
He had 2 or 3, right?
He had 2 or 3 also.
But see, look at the numbers, though. What if they... felt like they needed to have more, and this is their way of having more.
I don't know. It's just...
Well, it didn't work out very well. You know, castration and the sexual abstinence, whatever it was they were believing.
Shout out to Mexico, though. If you ever need a castration, that's where you go.
Hashtag no nuts Mexico.
I just... It's just... It's really crazy to me that I honestly think they believed in this. I don't think they at any point were they just cranks trying to come up with something, because I just don't see the point in having a bunch of people kill themselves,
right?
Because you're old and getting sick too, and you know, and maybe
he just, again, people do less for, you know,
right? Maybe he worse. Just maybe he just was just falling off the deep end toward the end there, and you know, he,
some people kill people for nothing,
right? He thought he was having rational thoughts, and everyone around was going,
it made sense that this comet had a spaceship.
Yeah, it made sense to him, but you know, I don't know, I wasn't, you know, there, and I don't know what he was thinking at the time. He
drives a hard ball game,
right?
Yeah. Well, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I was going to wait to go last because I got a lot to say.
All right.
All right, so unstable man meets unstable woman in the 60s? 50s? 60s?
Yeah, 50s.
Unstable man meets unstable woman.
That's a baby in the background coughing. His name's Ollie. Continue. Anyway,
unstable man, unstable woman meet each other in a time of rapid technological expansion. So these two are bouncing ideas. Oh, not to mention theology students. So they're already going to school for nonsense.
One was theology. One believed in like the extraterrestrials. Right. And
so you take those two things, take theology and mysticism, extraterrestrials, all that stuff, and mix it together. You get an alien religion, basically. In a time of rapid technological expansion, they're getting TVs. They're getting Star Trek. They're getting the moon landing, all this stuff. Space exploration is a huge deal in late 60s, early 70s, and they decide to make a religion based off of it. Yes, I truly believe that they believed this, but I do also think that they're fucking insane. I think all those things kind of compiled, though, and that's why it was so easy for them to gather followers, yeah, especially in the early 70s.
I bet it would be harder in this day and age to do the same thing, because...
I think all those factors... Because
of the trolls, man.
You're right. Trolls. You know what? The trolls would...
Trolls would ruin everything.
We couldn't have a good cult these days because of the trolls. Right. Thanks a lot, trolls.
Thanks, trolls.
We still got cults today. I don't know any of them.
About 5 years ago, they built a church on... I'll tell you exactly where it is. 1417... It's Reverend Glass, and they were a church that was holding women and children they were holding them hostage, and then they also, at the same time, were trying to brainwash the men, and then not long afterwards, one person got out of the church/cult, and they told them about it. And the church ended up being kind of abandoned, but they built a gigantic, huge, like, million-dollar church on 1417 in Sherman. And it was a big ordeal.
Interesting.
Well, I guess that's going to wrap everything up on this episode.
Yeah.
We're going to go start our own cult. We're going to come up with a good, clever nickname instead of something that's, you know, bulky,
racist.
Like... I don't want to do a cult where we're like the sexaholics. What was it?
Sexaholics.
Celibates.
Yeah.
Like, I'll trade you Kool-Aid for your vodka. It'll be in my cult.
I will see your Kool-Aid and up it with barbiturates.
Well, I'll see your barbiturates and up it with a vegan restaurant.
I can get a good deal Father on God, bitch. I can get a good deal on anthrax.
Alright,
just need some bitcoins.
Let's all say goodbye, fellas and lady.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Adios. We appreciate you listening to our show, and we'd love it if you'd give us a review on iTunes and subscribe. If you aren't an Apple cult follower, like me, our shows are also available on Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube. Just search for Secret Transmission Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter for all kinds of updates, at Secret Transpod. That's at SECRETTRANSPOD. Or you can email us. It's secrettransmission@hotmail.com. Also, like us on Facebook. DJ runs that. Go like it. Maybe I can get him to update it more often than he has been. I don't know. Make sure you go listen to the shows that we played promos for in this episode. Almighty Psyche, Geek Yogurt Podcast, Jock and Nerd Podcast, Project Archivist, and Armchair Ninja Podcast. Also, I need to give a little shout out to the Podcast Radio Network for playing our shows on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Go check it out, podcastradionetwork.net. You can download the Crikey app, that's K-R-Y-K-E-Y, and tune in to 102.6 and hear us and a bunch of other great podcasts. So, thanks to them for playing us. If you found out about us from them, please email us and tweet us. We'd like to know. We post a new episode every 2 weeks, so please come back and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable.
Ready to say goodbye, Roger?